Yeah, I know this is core for me. So it's almost like, for me, in some ways, I feel like I'm a steward of this value. It's not really me. It's me. I'm living this out. That's different from, am I good enough? Because I'm just going to do the best job I can living this out.
The Ripple Leader Podcast, a resource for leaders who want to cultivate clear and confident leadership skills that ripple out to leaders around them and throughout the organizations they lead. Each episode, we gain actionable insight from Chris Hutchinson, veteran organizational advisor, CEO of the Trebuchet Group, and author of Ripple, Field Manual for Leadership That Works. How do I get past the self-doubt that's preventing me from thriving at work? And that imposter syndrome is... when Yoda's like, you know, the force is strong with this one, like the imposter syndrome is strong with me. And there are many days when I feel like, yep, everybody's going to find out that I'm a total fraud, that I made it all up, and I'm going to be, you know, off in the streets, whatever. Mm. And, but, you know, seeing that, you know, that someone else is seeing that and, you know, asking that question and seeing how that's impacting thriving. I mean, clearly there's a direct connection, yep. But how do we go after this? How do we speak to those like myself who feel like an imposter, who feel like they are, just like there's more doubt than there is confidence, and that's mm-hmm. preventing them from thriving at work.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. That is, first, you are totally not alone, and so many people have this, but don't hear it from anybody, and so they hide it. So first, I have it at times. I've had it at times. I have it around things that I don't know. I'm like, really? Am I good enough? I mean, am I ever going to be good enough for this? So I think it's pervasive in our society and that everybody has some flavor of this. There's some people who are blessed to not have it, but I think they're the rare exception. So it would be great if we all could just sort of come clean and say, look, we're all worried whether we're going to do a good enough job. We don't feel that we have the capability. Things surprise us, and we don't know if we can really do it. I would love that. Sadly, we don't have that. So then within that, I think it's really, there's a couple things that are really key here. And I don't know that I have all the answers on this, by the way. I just want to be really clear. You know, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome on my part. Like, do I really know? Or is human experience wide enough that I haven't gotten to those places where people are struggling and there may be real legitimate challenges that they're facing? So it's hard to separate the two. I think the place where I have thrived is because I've had other people, leaders who, and people I respect who've sort of reached in and helped me realize where I was strong and where I had capabilities that were like breathing to me, but were actually very helpful. And I might even be dismissive of it myself. Where I had other leaders that would sort of ask me what I was trying to do and then share the things I was doing that were helpful or not. So part of this is partnering with somebody, whether that's a coach, a leader, a teacher. You know, hopefully you've been blessed with at least some of that, or you can go find somebody like that. And I actually think many leaders these days are being asked to do this for their employees. They're being asked to be seen as kind of a counselor, a coach, and looking for how do I develop myself. But really what it all strips down to for me is at the core, I need to appreciate myself. And if I can appreciate myself, it's because I hopefully have a semi-objective view outside of myself around how I'm showing up, what my strengths are, and have an idea of where I want to go in the world. And I also know what's really important for me. So when I wrote Ripple, actually, a lot of organizations that I was in would start with how efficient can we be, and we need to get the certain results, usually money or output, and then they would kind of back into, oh, we're not doing that well. It's because we're not doing the right things. They'd be more effective, like reorganize. And then they'd step back into, well, that's not working because people are not given the right tools and they're not effective. Well, we're not giving the people the right tools because we're not actually trusting that we are building an environment of trust where you can say, hey, this helps me, this doesn't, that kind of thing. And when that's all safe to work on. And leaders are it's the business conditions, and we're having difficulty with export controls, and you know, these processes aren't working right. We need better IT. And you know, maybe we don't have good onboarding, you know. The team's not quite, that's all really nice and good. But ultimately, I believe that it is that when you cross that exterior boundary of my, you know, outer edge and get into my soul, that's where the real challenges are. where it's around how much do I know myself, where I'm going and what matters, and how much am I willing to embrace the difficult choices and conversations I need to have. The place to start, ultimately, for all this improvement is around self-knowledge. Aristotle said it 2,000 plus years ago. It's like, that's one of the most powerful things. And it's still true today. It's a human condition. When I know myself, I can appreciate what my strengths are. And when you're different, I don't see you as wrong or bad. I see you as having different strengths. If I don't, I'm normal. And if you're not like me, you're abnormal. And I don't know what to do with you. If I don't know what really matters to me, I'm just going to live my life in reaction to whether I like what's happening around me or not. And if I don't know the path that I'm on, not that it's all charted out to, you know, I'll be CEO at 35, making $6 million a year, not that kind of thing, but like, what am I really here for? What's my purpose? And what do I connect around? I think those pieces feel very distant for a lot of people, but are absolutely core to me being able to show up in a way where I can sort of say, yeah, that might be hard, but that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. I'm not an imposter. I'm learning. I'm growing. I can be good in some things and not good in others. And let's see what we can do together.
So with those kind of three pieces, parts,
yeah.
Let's dive in a little bit into each one of those. So the principle of deciding what matters most.
Yes.
How would I get started with that?
There's a lot of values-based exercises, and I think those are good. We tend to put an extra layer on top of that. It's values in action. You've heard people probably say, I value my kids. I never spend time with them, but I really value them. You know, I love them. But there's no activity. It's sort of an intellectual, yes, I value this. The kind of values that we believe in are the ones where you see, like I can look in a pattern back in my life and see when I've made decisions, when I've sort of had inflection points or choices, what has made the decision for me? Or what has accompanied that decision? You know, and I can look back and say, you know what, for me, one of the most important things is love. It's around love of people and believing in people and the relationships that I have. I can look back and say, love is a fundamental value for me and that I put it into action. And so if I choose a future that doesn't have that in there, it's not going to go very far. And I'm probably going to feel very out of my element versus looking at, say, love is critical. So boiling it down to what are those things that when you look back in your life have been almost signposts for you and what would you want them to be going forward? And knowing what that's most, then you can apply that, even share it. You know, here are things that are important to me. Wonder what's important to you.
Is this kind of like where people will talk about aspirational values and core values? Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about like a core value, there should be some evidence.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, that drove behavior, that drove decisions.
Right.
That...
Yeah. Right. In fact, I would say around struggle. Struggle is actually a benefit because that's where you kind of learned what was most important, where you struggled and had a difficult time. There's things that I have done where it's even like, this is not fun. I don't kind of want to do it because it's uncomfortable. It's expensive. It's difficult. I might, you know, I'm taking a risk and I'm going to do it anyway. Those are core values. Aspirational is like someday I want to be, which is fine. But I think if you're going to really be able to ground yourself in what's most important, you're looking at those things where you've had a difficulty and you've worked through it and it's still there. You're willing to do that even if it hurts.
And that makes sense to me that how that could help you combat this imposter syndrome is that if you have evidence of, hey, this is a pool of energy.
Yes.
That I can trust that because I care about it and there's been evidence that I will care about this, I can lean on this mm-hmm. to combat that.
Yeah, I know this is core for me. So it's almost like for me, in some ways, I feel like I'm a steward of this value. It's not really me. It's me. I'm living this out. That's different from am I good enough? Because I'm just going to do the best job I can living this out.
Mm. Okay, so after I decide what matters most, mm-hmm. then I'm charting a course.
Yeah, and I think the course is, you know, what are the things that are you sort of want or don't want or want to continue wanting? You know, what's the picture of the future, which is one of our tools that we use, around what would the elements of that future be? And it's not the dollars and cents. It's not, you know, 6.2 children, whatever. Those aren't the important things. Important things are, well, what does that give you? So a lot of times, rather than asking us or myself why about those things, well, let's imagine I have 6.2 children. What's great about that for me? And I'm like, oh, the embrace of a place where I'm accepted as who I am. Or it could be that I know that I can bring my strengths and I don't have to be everything for everybody. You know, those you can hear that might be at the workplace, not just in the 6.2 kids, right? So it's thinking about those things maybe you desire or you want. I mean, you might even have it on a goal sheet somewhere. What's behind that? When you get that, what's different in your life? And thinking of what those things are lets you know, okay, do I move away from Colorado and take this job, or am I going to go back to school? You can put those kind of decisions through that filter and see, is that going to get me towards where I want to go, or at least neutrally affect it? But if it's in the way of that, yeah, that's probably a no. If I can't change the decision so it doesn't include these things that are so important to me, both values-wise and outcomes-wise, it's probably not the right thing to do.
Hmm. And as just a side note, I mean, you said, well, that's a tool that we use.
Yes.
But I mean, the idea of painting a picture of the future is an incredibly powerful tool, mm-hmm. that it can be used not just in charting your own course personally, but throughout an organization to help an organization chart its course.
Yeah. Imagine everybody thinking what the course is, and you lay those over each other and see what's the highway we're on. And maybe we're not on it forever, but at least for the next however long, 3 years, we're all on this road together doing the same thing, and we're going to keep each other from falling off the cliff on the edge of the guardrail. We're all in it together. That's really powerful. And if I'm not, it's like, no, my course goes a different direction. I can say, hey, I don't belong here. I don't have to feel like, why am I here? This isn't the place for me. I need to go find another place where it is. Very risky feeling, but actually vitally important for you to live your life the way you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who feel maybe I don't have time, mm-hmm. to set aside to actually go through a practice like this, history's heading somewhere. Experience is heading somewhere.
You're on the road.
Regardless, you're on a road somewhere. Yeah. And granted that there's inputs that we can't control, mm-hmm. but if I don't have any influence or didn't take any time, then I really have just abdicated whatever those outcomes are. Mm-hmm. And that may be something that I'm really excited about.
Well, they might happen.
They might happen.
Yeah, you might stumble across it, right?
And physics and evolution and other things would say probably not.
Yeah, right.
So if you want to raise the probability, you could chart your own course. There's a third one. It's just know where you're awesome. And this feels like, of these three, like kind of a capstone out of countering that narrative of that I'm an imposter.
Well, I kind of hinted at the beginning is that, and this is what's really wild, when I'm coaching leaders and we're talking about things, and they'll share a behavior or some action they took. I can't remember what it was, but just even earlier today, I had somebody say, well, that's just what you do. You just help people get clear about what they're doing. And I'm like, well, actually, I know leaders who don't see that as part of their role. And they're kind of like, well, that's stupid. Why would they do that? And I'm like, no, actually, you have a strength here. You're combining the care that you have for people, the organization results, and your willingness to take a risk. And you're asking them to get engaged at a level that most leaders don't. And they kind of like, they're like, well, that's no, it's like breathing. That's easy. If that happens, I usually say, let me ask you one more question. Have you ever seen anybody else struggle with this? And what's really fascinating, because it's easy for them, they're like, yeah, I don't know why people choose not to do that. That's weird. Because like, if it's easy for me, it's got to be easy for you, right? So you must be choosing not to do it. I think that's kind of strange, but oh well, right? But if I know this is a superpower for me, I can really appreciate it in you when you have something different. Like, hey, I'm Diane and I, 38 years married, coming up on, we have different strengths and skills, and we augment each other because there's things I can see she doesn't and vice versa. And if we bring that together, it's like awesome. Those limitations I have, I don't have to try to hide them. I just get help with them. And so I think this is part of the reason that it's really important to have this. Like if I know where my strengths are, I can go, I probably shouldn't do that. Or I can do it, but it's going to take me a lot of energy and I'm not going to get a great result for temporary time. Sure. No problem. But if I walked into that thinking, well, I guess other people can do it, I can do it. Can you imagine how that imposter syndrome would pop up? Like, why is everybody else having an easy time with this and I'm struggling? They may not be. Yeah. But if hey, I'm good at this, you're good at that, let's partner, can be really powerful. So if I know where I'm awesome, I can appreciate others' differences as strengths.
And kind of a side doorway to find where you're awesome have been places where I found that if I have a little bit of a healthy discontent,
yes,
with others.
Yeah, that's that absolutely right. Right. You're like, why are people doing that?
Why don't they care about this the way I care about this? That's a great prompt for me to go, oh, it's because that's a strength that I have.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that they're less. It just means I'm probably ticking them off because I'm overdoing the strength.
Oh yeah, they're going to
feel easy.
They're going to feel deficient because they're going to be, and you're going to show up like, this is easy. What's your problem?
Yeah.
And I think, I'm guessing there's listeners that are like, ooh, this is resonating for me because they're like, I wonder why people choose not to do something. More often than not, it's people don't know how. And we have a society where if I ask, hey, I don't know how to do this, and I'm in a technical place, or maybe I should know how to have a good conversation or confront someone around their accountability or things like that, but I don't know how, I'm going to avoid that. And you're going to be like, what's wrong? You know, and I'm going to be like, well, it's just, you know, time's not right, da, 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 da. I'm going to shield instead of saying, I don't know how to do that. It's easy for you. How can you help me with that? Yeah. So I think a combination, if I know where I'm strong, I know where my limitations are. Let's not set up conditions where I'm using those all the time because I'm going to come up short. Mm. And that could be really challenging.
Yeah. So for all of the card-carrying members of the Imposter Syndrome Anonymous.
Yes.
Who are looking for a way to thrive and work because yeah. that just keeps showing up.
Yeah.
Decide what matters most. Chart your own course. Know where you're awesome.
Know where you're awesome.
Well, I think we'll actually embed that kind of in the show notes of a way, just as a practice. Anybody mm-hmm. wants to listen to this episode and wants to dive into that more.
Yeah.
To walk through those practices and principles from Ripple. As a way to go after that, as a yeah. way to get some support and some encouragement that, hey, you're not alone.
Yeah.
This is in the society that we live in, which, you know, we don't often use the term, but like a meritocracy, it's kind of mm-hmm. like, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
It's so easy to breed this feeling of self-doubt in your work.
And I'm not good enough. Let me give one little caution in this, because in the Know Where You're Awesome thing, when we have in the show notes, we'll talk about assessments, because there's a lot of things you can take that reflect back to your strengths and limitations. I feel really, really strongly about this, is that many of those have labels on them. Well, you're a this, you're a D, you're an N, you're an 8, you're a shark, you know, whatever the things are. I really want you to hold those lightly, because they could have good insight, but if it just says you're a this, that's you're kind of it or not. And you'll have all the strengths and limitations of that particular quality. I believe it's a much more healthy and effective to say, hey, I have some D strengths. Because then it's my responsibility how much I need to bring to them right now. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Or I have, so in all of those things, even if they have a label on them, I really encourage people to look at it and say, okay, this is a strength that I have or a limitation I have. How is it showing up and what do I want to do about that in concert with my path and in concert with what I care about?
Awesome. So from what imposter on behalf of all others, thanks, Chris.
Yes, well, yeah, thank you. You here's my card, right? So we're all good.
To help you help your team members figure out where they want to go and how their individual strengths can be utilized to do great things for the team and themselves, grab a copy of Chris's book, Ripple, a field manual for leadership that works. You can find the links to get Ripple as well as a free resource to help you equip those you lead in the show notes of this episode on rippleleader.com. If you found this content helpful, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. Follow the podcast on the platform of your choice, leave a review, and then share a favorite episode with a colleague or a friend. These three things help us create the ripples that we desire to see as well. The Ripple Leader Podcast is a production of the Trebuchet Group. The Trebuchet Group wants a world where everyone is thriving individually and collectively at work. You can find more about the Trebuchet Group at trebuchetgroup.com. I'm co-host Josh Schuler. Thanks for listening.